Time now for Growing the Game with Ballsy, episode 49. And joining me on the phone here is one of our fine sponsors, Paul Waldo from Royal LePage, the home realty experts. You can check him out at 306-502-5355. One of our other sponsors, Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out or you want to rent a travel trailer, check them out at wheelestate.ca. All their rentals brought to you by a $1 million insurance policy, so you get peace of mind that way. Okay, Paul Waldo, it's Paul and Ball on football. Let's talk U of S Huskies, U of R Rams. Big game this weekend. Man, it doesn't get any bigger than this. This one could be very decisive in terms of deciding second place.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, Ballsy. Decisive is the word, and I think that's kind of how we've treated it. We've almost looked at it as a playoff game this week. This conference, this division is incredibly strong, and literally you're going to have, you know, five teams fighting for the top spots, the top five. So, it's been intense, and once again, it's always great to play the guys from down the road, and it'll be a good one.
How surprised are you this conference is so wide open?
You know, not overly surprised. Obviously starting off with the guys we're playing this weekend, the Rams have been very strong the last 2 years, and that doesn't, like I said, surprise us. And you know, UBC probably is the shocker. We've expected to be a bit stronger, but they're a team that usually turns it on toward the middle and the back end of the schedule. Manitoba, they're always athletic, they're always big, they're always strong, they're always fast. And I mean, Calgary's been the powerhouse of the conference for the last 10 years. So not overly surprised. Actually, you know, expected things maybe to even potentially be a bit tighter with U of A and their resurgence last year. But, you know, they've had a lot of turnover. It seems like they're kind of the one team that is separated from the rest of the pack.
You don't get any wins in the moral victory column, no. but you guys did play a very good game against the team that's won 8 of the last 10 Hardy Cups in Calgary. What did you like about that game last week?
You know, I mean, I think physically we played pretty well. I think, you know, the efforts you can never question from the kids, and they prepared and they flew around and they played hard. I know from a defensive standpoint, we gave a lot of yards up in the air. We just weren't very disciplined, and we just gave up too many big plays from a secondary standpoint. And, you know, offensively, we didn't throw the ball as well as we wanted to. So we left a lot out there. We actually really didn't play very good football, despite the score proving it, I think, otherwise. But once again, you know, we still got such a long ways to go, and, you know, trying to get healthy as most teams are. We're only 3 weeks into the season. So it's just a matter of kind of plugging away and then trying to find out who we really are as a team.
The damn injuries are doing it again on the offensive side of things, especially in the receiving core.
Yeah, it's almost like one that went into each position. You know what I mean? To have two of your key components go down in the receiving core, and then you get a guy on the offensive line. And you know, that in itself it is tough. And then, you know, we got a few on defense as well. But, I mean, it's no excuses, right? Every team, I think, is like that. It's just a matter of finding a way for other guys to step up and I guess essentially manipulating the schemes to you know, expose our strengths and kind of hide our weaknesses.
Didn't have Peyton Hall last week, the Regina kid, Ryan Hall's son. Didn't have him, and that really hurt trying to cover the Philpott boys. We have Ryan Hall in the lineup this week because it'll be a challenge once again.
Yeah, but Peyton's still day-to-day. I mean, you know, it's tough with a lower body injury. You know, if it's something up top, there's a lot of ways you can mask that. You know, You can just kind of, you can tape it, and you can freeze it. There's so many things. But with the lower body injury, it's tough. And once again, he's still day-to-day on the road already in the third day of practice. But he'll be a game-time decision.
What kind of problems does Noah Pickton pose for your secondary?
Oh, problems everywhere. how much time do we got to save from here, Ballsy? The kid is incredibly good as a pocket passer. He's even more effective when he escapes the pocket. Obviously, he's not the tallest guy in the world. He's a precision passer. He scans the field really well. He picks up. He knows where the blitzes are coming from. The kid's so cerebral. If you don't come to play against him, he's going to throw lights out of the stadium for you. So that's going to be obviously a big challenge.
And the strength for your team early on has been that running back group. You've been able to interchange guys. And how about the Swiss Army knife, Colton Klassen, the former Thunder player?
Yeah, you know what? It's hard to argue about that kid potentially being you know, the top player in the conference because he can do so much. You know, he's a guy that can carry the ball in the backfield. You know, he's a natural running back. You know, he can pound the ball. He's really good out at the slot. He can make big plays. He's incredibly fast and explosive for a player. The rundown special teams make plays for you. But, you know, it's without a doubt that I think he's overall our best player right now. And Tyler Chow is looking like he's in fine form. He's, you know, in his All-Canadian days before he was injured. And I think our offensive line is probably the strongest part on our team, next to the backs, with as well as Shaq Harris, who's another guy. And, Macker coming from Saskatoon, he'll talk to an All-Canadian there too. So we really have, you know, four guys that can run the football, and our offensive line being strong, especially getting into mid and late in the season where you really got to pound the rock. That's obviously a strength.
And, of course, the crowd's going to play a big factor in this game. That'll be nice to get the boys hyped up there on home turf for you guys.
Absolutely. I mean, that's play to play. You know, you only get half the games to play at home, and it's nice because, like we said, everything stays the same. There aren't any other conditions that you have to try to, foresee or surpass, whether it's traveling, you know, the time, or even just the way in which it kind of moves your preparation standpoint. Like I said, we're here, we're at home, and, you know, we've played pretty well at home for the most part. We're going to do everything we can to get a win this weekend.
All right, so a quick comment about the Riders. That was an ugly game.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, once again, I think when we kind of looked at it from leading up to the game, it felt like it was almost a trap game. You know, it's always scary when a team like Ottawa loses three in a row and then you're playing a team that's just won four in a row. You know, and Ottawa essentially always plays. I mean, if you remember to last year, I think they won on the last play of the game here in Saskatchewan in the same situation where the Riders were on that mid-season success that they had, and Ottawa was trying to position themselves and trying to make a fight for the postseason. And the last one is always William Powell, on our panel, I had chosen him as probably my favorite back in the league, and they always have a hard time stopping him, and he seems to have a field day when he's playing the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So it was tough. It was tough to see.
A lot of fans are saying now that the offense has been so putrid, we made a mistake getting rid of Daron Carter. I'm interested in that angle this week, and Daron Carter facing his former team.
So many headlines this week, you know, and that's probably a big one. And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays. You know, if he's going to be able to keep his emotions in check. Obviously, not only is it his first, I think, game full-time at wide receiver, but it's his first time against his opponent, you know, his former team, you know, who I think he feels like he was mistreated by. So it's going to be a great matchup.
Paul, thanks for this. We appreciate it. If you want to get in the real estate game with Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, the home realty experts, 306-502-5355. Good luck against the Rams.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ballsy. Have a good one.
Here with Rams second-year running back Kyle Borsak. Kyle, big game last week. Just to go back to that, your thoughts on that game?
It was a good it was pretty slow to start off. I mean, I wasn't happy with the fumble, obviously, but I kind of picked myself up, and they trusted me with the ball, obviously, and yeah, I just kind of just made some plays. So
yeah, take me back to that fumble, because in the past you might turn one bad play into two or three bad plays, and I was waiting to see how you'd respond on the next drive. You make a big catch. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, it was a broken play. I was just supposed to do a drag across the middle, but converted it deep, and Noah just made a great throw outside shoulder away from the defender. So I mean, I think it's more his great play than mine, but whatever.
I don't know, man. You jumped up, made a great catch, and then the run was nice. I love your vision there. Just tell me about that play.
Outside zone, I'm supposed to read the end, and the end kind of shot out wide, so I just kind of cut up the middle, made a guy miss, and then yeah, there it was.
Is the game slowing down for you a little bit now? I talked to Atlee Simon, and there's one thing that's no denying you. You've got unbelievable speed. We both talked about you having to maybe be a little bit more patient in the hole, and he said he's talked to you about that. Are you kind of feeling that now? Because you look like you are.
Yeah, definitely. My first year, I was super antsy. I always just wanted the ball and just go right away, kind of like high school. But here you kind of just got to slow it down, let your blocks develop, and then you kind of just see it and hit it.
Yeah, so it's a big game. Atlee's probably not going to play again against Saskatoon. You're up there, and it's going to be 7,000-8,000. How jacked are you for that game?
I mean, it's going to be fun, big rivalry game. I'm obviously a bit nervous, but I'm hoping to do my best, play my part, and help my team win.
How exciting was it to win an ugly game like that? It looked like you guys were done, you're going to lose, and you probably should have won. You had two fumbles in deep, and then you escaped with a victory. How nice was that?
It was definitely a good feeling to come out with the win. I mean, you had some stuff to clean up, obviously, yeah. But we got the win, so that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah. What do you want to do better here for yourself personally in this game?
I just want to hold on to the ball. Yeah. I don't want to fumble the ball. Yeah. I want to do better pass protecting and all that, but just know my assignments, do everything I'm supposed to do, and sure, it'll all fall into place.
And then the other thing that I wanted to ask you, what's up with the cramping? Because you've been, I was worried about your ankles because that's been a problem in the past. Like, I hope you didn't have an injured ankle, but they've been cramping. So what are you doing to combat that?
Apparently I'm low sodium, so I'm just going to eat more salt, I guess. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to have to figure that out, though. They gave me some Pedialyte stuff to drink before the game, so I'm going to do that.
Get mom to get you some more salt in your diet, hey?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks for this, Kyle.
Thank you.
Time now for the Doubles Take with Ryder legend Darian Durant. And Doubles, I guess, first out of the chute, you were at your first game at Mosaic Stadium as a fan. How was that?
Yeah. It was weird a little bit, actually. Just being so used to when you're in Regina, it's all about game day. And being able to just enjoy everything. Being there with Getty, watching the game with some of my former teammates, it was a little weird, but I enjoyed it at the same time. It's a wonderful, wonderful stadium. The design is amazing, and, it's just a state-of-the-art facility.
Did you stay for the whole game, Darian?
No, I wasn't able to stay for the whole game. I just wanted to experience part of it. So I did the first half at home, and then I did the first half at the game, and then watched the second half on TV. I got a chance to experience it from both sides, and, I had fun that way.
Okay, so in terms of the actual presentation, they had a lights-out game, so it was a little more special than normal. But when you were a player, did you ever get a chance to get caught up in that? You probably didn't. So what's it like to take in that as a fan? It kind of gives you goosebumps. It probably made you miss the game more a little bit.
It did. It really did. Whenever I was a part of a game here in Regina, it was always, I had a different mentality. I was getting ready to go to war with the opponent. I was focused in on my job. I was, thinking about the game plan, different things like that. So to experience it, just to see the intro, to see the guys run out to bring them out, it definitely was, it was an up and down feeling, to say the least. You know what I mean? But like I said, I enjoyed it. It's just such a great atmosphere. The fans are great. The stadium is just super loud, and it was a great experience.
Darian Durant joining us here for the Doubles Take. Hey Doubles, what is wrong with Zach Collaros? He doesn't look right.
Something's not right. It's just hard to pinpoint it. You look at the games where the Riders won. He wasn't taking chances. He was taking care of the ball. They weren't moving the ball efficiently, but they were moving the ball in a timely fashion, And what I mean by that is whenever the team needed a first down to maybe change field position or run some time off the clock late in the game, they were able to do that. But then this past game against Ottawa, he was taking some chances we hadn't seen him take in the past. And, something didn't seem right. I just can't pinpoint it. I'm not sure if he's uncomfortable with the offense, the guys around him, the play calling, who knows. But he just doesn't look comfortable at all.
Do you think it's a confidence thing?
I think confidence has something to do with it. I mean, he's been taking some hits over not just this year, but over the years. And, sometimes those hits, they weigh on you. And, with him missing a couple games this year due to a concussion, you just never know what those concussions. Sometimes they tend to show up a little bit later. Sometimes they linger. You just don't know. But like we said, something's up, and you know, hopefully he can, you know, rise to the top and clear his head of everything, and coaches can put him in some better situations offensively to allow him to have some success.
You guys always talk about focus and looking internally and all that stuff, but you guys are humans too. Do you think the high expectations coming into this year and maybe the size of the paycheck weighs on the guy where he's thinking, geez, I make this much money, I got to earn it?
I don't know, you know, because he comes from Hamilton, and, you know, everyone says that there's a lot of pressure playing in Hamilton as well. The fans are, you know, kind of a mini version of what you go through in Saskatchewan. So he's felt the pressure. He's had a big paycheck for a couple years now. Yeah, it's just hard to say. But I do believe that the coaches can do some things to put him in a better situation to help him get rid of the ball quicker. He's not staring down, you know, holding the ball, staring down the barrel of a whole bunch of defensive linemen coming at him. And I also think that if you can get Naaman Roosevelt involved early in the games, that could take some pressure off of him as well.
That's very interesting because the guy who had the drops was Shaq Evans, yet they seemed to go to him more. Now, I don't know if that was the case where the other guys were taken out of the game plan, but how do you get Naaman Roosevelt the ball? Like, we hear this all the time, got to get the ball to Naaman, got to get the ball to Naaman, not just from you, but you've been in a huddle, you've been in offensive meetings. How would you get the ball to Naaman Roosevelt early and often?
Well, first and foremost, you have to just move him around, put him in different positions. You know, sometimes put him to the wide side of the field against the team's so-called weakest DB, and just let him go to work. I think it's all about scheme. Just play to his strengths. But also, there's no reason in my mind that Naaman shouldn't have at least 8 to 10 targets per game. I mean, you look around the league, and guys are getting 15 targets a game, different things like that in other places. Naaman's more than capable of producing, but he needs those opportunities. There's no way that your number one receiver should have, you know, 2 or 3 targets and then you wait until the fourth quarter to call his number. I don't agree with that. So there is a way. You just have to be creative with your schemes and put him in positions to be successful.
The head scratcher for me, I'll continue to beat it and sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but you got Rob Bagg back on your roster. I know you brought him back maybe because of a PR move. Maybe you brought him back to be the solid leader in the locker room that you and other guys have talked about. But I go back to that pass down near the goal line where, to me, Stanford kind of runs a lazy dig or a lazy in. I don't think Rob Bagg runs a lazy in. Like, I don't understand that. To me, that interception, I think that's on Stanford.
I think you can definitely give him some of the blame. I mean, when he came out of his break, he kind of drifted up the field a little bit. It allowed the defender to undercut and make a good play on the ball. And like I said, with a veteran like Rob Bagg, especially in a situation where you're about to score, there's no way Robbie lets that DB undercut him. He comes back for the ball. He fights the DB for the ball. You know, he just makes a veteran-savvy move. Just in case it's a ball is thrown a little bit behind him like it was, Robbie turns into a defender immediately and doesn't allow that guy to make that play. So it's just little things like that that Rob can bring to the table, and I think he deserves a chance to be out there.
Some of it's play calling too. Like, I don't understand too. You got about a buck 09 on the clock to go. You're still very much in the game, and you go for it all on the first play, and you go for it with Shaq Evans, who's already struggled in the game, and he's a young, speedy guy. He keeps running down the field. He doesn't come back to the football. That's one where I want to see Naaman Roosevelt go up and get, or even Jordan Williams-Lambert.
No question. I mean, Naaman has done that his entire time here in Saskatchewan. You put up a 50-50 ball, he comes down with a high percentage of those. He's a guy that when the game is on the line, he's one of the most sure-handed receivers in the league. And I'm not sure his drop statistics, but if you compare him to other receivers in the league, he drops probably fewer balls than anyone, any number one target. So, you know, it's just head-scratching not seeing Naaman get an opportunity in those situations, especially with the game on the line. Fourth quarter, you have to go to your guy, the guy who you paid to be your number one receiver, and it's just head-scratching.
And, you know, Jerron Carter, who the Riders are going to play this week, is gone, and for whatever reason he's gone, and some people will debate, well, it's addition by subtraction, but if you don't have somebody to replace him, I don't know about that. And then you look at, you know, you got Thigpen, who returns the opening kickoff 97 yards for a touchdown, and then he only gets 2 touches the rest of the game. You got to find a way in offense to get him the ball too, don't you?
He is one of the most dynamic playmakers in this league. I mean, you would think that after being in the NFL for as long as he has, for him to come back, he may have lost a step, but it looks like, you know, he's the same 22, 23-year-old guy that was, running punts back for Hamilton back in the day. He still is a dynamic playmaker. For him not to get the ball in space, for him not to get touches offensively, it's just amazing. And, I keep going back to the scheme of things offensively, but I feel like the talent is there. I mean, you look at the receiving core, you look at the backs. I mean, Zach Collaros, I still believe, can get it done. I mean, there's talent on the offensive side of the ball. So, in my opinion, there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be up there with some of the best offenses in the league because of the talent you have. It's got to be the scheme. It's got to be, the coaches not putting those guys in situations to be successful.
Yet, Darian, we're talking about scheme. They're 3rd-and-2, and they go deep to Kyron Moore for 40, and that was one that's like,
yeah,
hey,
that was
you know?
If you're going to draw up a play in that situation, that's got to be one of the last things you think of. But hey, it worked out, and I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. I mean, when you look at a play like that, throwing up a 50-50 ball, especially to a rookie, that's not what you want to do in situations like that. But hey, it worked, so you can't question that.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a play where you look at when it's being called and it's being executed, and you look at it, you're like, wow, if that didn't work, then there would have been a lot of boos probably in the stadium at that time.
For sure. Darian Duran here just for a couple more seconds. So, Darian, you're in town for the last 2 weeks. You were live on set with us, which was great. The fans loved it. You were in for the Rams breakfast, fundraising breakfast, and I understand this weekend you're going to be in Saskatoon, too, for the Hilltops dinner before their game or right around that weekend. So tell me about what people expect when they go to see you in person.
Well, really, I try to bring, a real-life aspect to these appearances and different fundraising events. A lot of times when you go to events, guys just have a story about their life or a story about some of the things they've been through. But I kind of like to get, the crowd's opinion. What do they want to hear from Darian Duran? What do they want to know? So I give the audience an opportunity to present questions, whatever it is that they want to know about me, my career, locker room stories, favorite players, you name it. I give the audience an opportunity to fire away with their questions. So that's what I love about being here in Regina. The fans and the people are so interested in, the things you went through on the field, especially with us winning a Grey Cup in 13. So it's always good to get the fans' opinion, and I love that part of it.
Lastly, Darian, I know I was talking to one of your guys there at Jeff at the stadium there, and I've talked to a lot of people who've enjoyed this segment, and they like your personality. It's not like you just found a personality; you've always had a personality. But let's be honest,
this has always been me. I've just been in a fishbowl.
That's right.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to let loose sometimes.
Yeah. So where I was going with that is you were more reserved as the quarterback. You had your game face on. We talked at the start of this interview. You didn't let yourself really. You were game face. You were all about playing. You were all about immersing yourself in making this team be the best that it could be. So is it kind of nice to let go of the chains and kind of show a little bit about your personality and a little what the guy saw in the locker room? Because every guy I talked to, I don't care who it is, they said, I'll go through a wall for Darian Duran because he's just a good guy. And I didn't think you weren't a good guy. It's just that it's nice to get to see a different side of you now.
Yeah, it's good to let loose sometimes. Like you said, the fans don't really get to see the personality side of me, especially being the quarterback, especially when you're going through tough times, and we had those times when I was a player, but sometimes you didn't want to express yourself in certain ways, or you worried about the backlash, or worried about, just it being in the media and the opinions that people have of you. So to just be myself and to be able to let loose and talk football and talk about what I see as a bad decision or what I was thinking at the time, different things like that. It's just good to let loose. So I really enjoy this segment. And, who knows what the future may hold as far as hearing my voice over football games and, being involved a little bit more.
Oh, we know you'll be involved more for sure. We're already thinking about that. But lastly, you've walked a mile in Zach Collaros' shoes just in terms of playing the position in this province. After a game like that, I fielded calls about Darian Duran after a game like that. I probably said a couple things about you after a game like that. What piece of advice would you say to Zach Collaros? What would you say to him if you could get in his ear right now?
just keep playing, Zach. I mean, I think you're doing a pretty good job of just managing the team. You had a couple bad throws that I know when you look at film or you think about those throws, you want them back. So just let that stuff go. You have two games coming up against Eastern teams that you, if you go out there and you play and you put your best foot forward and you play good Rider football, you should win these games and be sitting pretty coming back home. So just stay focused. Just keep playing ball. The good thing about it is you have another opportunity to go out and learn from the mistakes and just know that you have a dominating defense, even though they didn't play as well as they usually have against Ottawa, but you scored two special teams touchdowns. You know, your other phases of the game, they're putting points on the board. So just don't hurt the team. Just keep playing Rider football. That's make a couple first downs, punt it, play good field position football, and you'll be fine.
The MOP of our broadcast, Darian Durant, here in the Doubles Take segment.
Oh, wow.
Well, hey, man, I got to call it like I see it. I used to throw stones at you sometimes, and now I'm throwing accolades. Thanks for this, Darian. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Always good to talk to you. Thank you.
And this is Growing the Game, brought to you by Paul Waldo over at the Royal LePage, the home realty experts, and by Wheel Estate. Check them out at wheelestate.ca. Big matchup this weekend in Saskatoon as the Regina Thunder and the PFC travel up to Saskatoon to take on Tom Sargent and the Hilltops. Scott McCauley, your team coming off the bye. It's not great going into the bye when you lose, but I'm assuming you spent your bye week productively. What did you work on?
You know, for us, this bye week was really about letting our guys get healthy and then also doing some focusing on team building just to make sure that we got the right mindset here to move into the second half of the season, and also use it as an opportunity to install some of the things we need to be successful against the Hilltops a little bit earlier in the week.
What didn't go right against the Edmonton Huskies here on home turf before you went on your bye? You kind of stubbed your toe.
You know, like, at halftime there, we had the lead and had the momentum. And I thought our guys had a valiant effort there the first half. And the second half, you know, they established a run game. And, you know, our defense allowed them to have some very, very long drives. And then on the flip side, you know, our offense struggled to move the ball. And there's some two and outs. So defense was on the field way too long and too much. And you know, even the special teams, we never really got any big plays to help change up the momentum, and therefore they're able to take advantage of everything and go on with the W.
What's been one of the surprises on the good side of the ledger for you this year, Scott? Either a player or a unit. What's been one of the good surprises for you this year, or something you're like, yeah, that's working for us?
Well, the one thing is that, you know, our guys have been very smart in regards to the way that they're playing football. You know, we're averaging about 9 penalties a game, and it plays a huge role when it comes to the yardage for and against, right? And so instead of shooting ourselves in the foot, we've actually allowed ourselves to be in some games just by not giving up yardage due to penalties. So that's one thing I'm very happy with our guys right now.
How about the play of your quarterback, Brock Sitch, who steps in? Obviously, he had some big shoes to fill coming in this year with Bittner leaving, but how has he performed so far?
Well, you know, like, we think Brock Sitch is going to be a great quarterback in this league, and he definitely had signs and signals that he will be a great quarterback in this league. But right now, you know, he's going into his, you know, probably his sixth start here, and there's some growing pains along the way. But I know our players, they really believe in him, and I fully believe in him as well. So we're expecting him to come out and have a great game this upcoming weekend. And the one thing that we noticed with Brock so far is, you know, besides last game, like, he hasn't turned the ball over, right? He's very good with the ball control, making the right decisions, and he's a great leader on the field.
So what's one thing you need to clean up here going into the Hilltop game? We talked about one of the surprises or one of the good things. What's one of the Achilles heels of this football team so far?
You know, I think it's really going to boil down to our guys believing in themselves and executing when we need them to make big plays. You know, our defense has all the capabilities in the world to make tackles and force teams to be second and long. And we struggle at times to make those initial tackles, right, and allow them to get those extra yards. So, you know, part of that is just, you know, believing in themselves and finishing off plays. And even on offense, too, like, I go back to last game, you know, like, there's some routes that were cut off early, and then balls would tend to be a little bit more high when they were delivered. So the thing is that we need to make sure that we're executing our routes properly, and I think we take care of those two things right there. I think we're back in the exact spot that we want to be moving forward.
How much of this battle against the Hilltops is mental, where you go into the field and they're the four-time defending champs going for five in a row and you know, you got to get over the hump. How much of it has to do with mental, with mental gymnastics, so to speak?
Well, I think it's the whole thing really has to come down to the mental game. Like, you know, the Saskatoon Hilltops are a bunch of Saskatchewan grown kids, just like our guys. They're all 18 and 22, and right now they're playing with that championship effort and belief, and we got to get our guys to that same level. And, you know, every year we play against them, and we're either splitting the regular season series, and then, you know, come the playoffs, you know, they're able to get that edge over us. And so we just got to make sure that we go out there and believe in each other, and we know we can beat them, and we know we can make the plays. We just need to do it.
Hey, take us behind the scenes here. Now, I kind of know how this works, but just for people listening that don't, so how does this work for you? Do you go up the same day? What's a travel day look like for you to Saskatoon? Because that's part of it too, managing the off-field stuff so you could keep an even keel throughout the game before game time.
Yeah, like our board of directors have really allowed us to allowed us to travel great. And I think for us, you know, like for a 7 o'clock game in Saskatoon, like we'll allow our guys to sleep in and we'll leave probably around that 11:45 mark. And when we get to Saskatoon, we'll do a quick little run through and then go get something to eat and have the guys half dressed and get to the field and get acclimatized to our surroundings there. And then, you know, the game will begin. So, you know, definitely trying to eliminate any kind of distractions that might happen along the way is a big part of it. And you also don't want to make it too long of a day, but at the same time, we've got to make sure the guys are focused and ready to rock and roll right at the get-go.
You're a competitive guy. I know you for a long time. How pissed are you about this, a mental block you have maybe against the Hilltops yet? Like, you could see it. You're preaching it to your guys, but like so many coaches, you can't go on the field and do anything about it. How pissed is Scott McCauley to get over this hump?
Yeah, it's sometimes it's frustrating, you know. Like, the one thing is, like, you go back to last year, we lost the first game against them, and then we beat them the second game. And then you go up there, and the third game, you got the momentum in the game, and you say you miss an interception, or you also have a tune and out, and they capitalize on it, and then, you know, the wheels fall off. So it is frustrating, and I think at the end of the day, though, like, I am the leader of the team, and I got to make sure I keep a positive demeanor on the field. And I expect our captains and I expect our veterans to also lead that as well. And I think if we can get everybody on the same page and believing that we can get the job done, we will. So
really, really, when I watch them, they haven't changed much through the years. Back even when we played against them, it seems like they run the same eight plays, but they do it efficiently and they wait for you to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, they usually capitalize. That's really the difference between the two teams, isn't it?
Yeah, they keep things simple and let their players just be football players, right? And, you know, also, like, you know, Tom Sargent demands those guys to catch the balls when it's thrown to them. There's tons of situations and when the ball's thrown up in the air and our defensive guys got absolutely outstanding coverage and somehow, some way, those guys come down with it, right? And that's sort of that championship belief. And you know, like, he definitely holds those guys accountable, and that's something that we need to make sure that we do as well during the game and get on our guys and still keep a positive demeanor, but at the same time, like, let them know that it's not okay to have any drop balls or to have a missed tackle. Like, we expect our guys to come through and make big plays in a big game.
7 o'clock Saturday night this weekend. It's going to be a doozy. Thanks for this, Scott.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
And this is the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca. And if you'd like something more permanent, like in real estate, get a hold of Paul Waldo, 3-time Grey Cup champ over at Royal LePage, the home realty experts, 306-502-5355. I'm talking now with Jada Duvall from the Bandit Bears? That's what we call ourselves now?
Yep, Bears.
I almost called you by the old name, the Belfer Bears. You know what, Jada Duvall? You have your answering machine on your cell phone gets me every time. Because the way you answer it, it's like you're actually answering the phone live. Did anybody else ever tell you that?
Oh, yes. Lots of people.
Did you practice that or did you just do that cold?
I just kind of did that to get people.
Are you goofy like that? Like, do you like to pull pranks on your friends?
Yeah, yeah? I like that.
What's the best prank you've ever pulled on any of your friends?
Probably pretending that I got cut and just having, like, blood everywhere and stuff, and they believed in stuff. It was funny.
Wow, look at you, the prankster. Okay, we got Jada Duval on the program because she's a football player extraordinaire. Now, you are a part of the Regina Victorias football team, right? Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
Okay, and you guys won your first game the other day against Mooseman, 31-6. Tell me about that game. How did you do?
I did quite well, actually. I played OND and all special teams, and it was a good game, good battle, and we brought our all, and it was a good game.
That's awesome. So what position do you play for the Victorias? Offense, defense, what do you play?
I play tail, I play fullback, I play wide receiver, running back, slot back, pretty much every position. And then on defense, it's like D-line and all that stuff. And then special teams, like mostly the kicker and just stuff that are very important on special teams. So like big blockers and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you're a dynamic player. So you also play for Belfer. You're on the Belfer High School football team with boys. How does that work? Like, how do you feel being the only girl on the team?
It's a good feeling, especially when you get respect from them. It's a really good feeling.
Did you get automatic respect from the guys, or did you have to earn that respect?
I definitely had to earn it. It wasn't just a thing that I got. Took a lot of hustle and doing what they do and not giving up and showing them that I can do what they can do no matter what my gender is.
So what are you in the, like, do they, I don't, how do I do this? They don't protect you in any hitting drills or anything? You just go right up against the guys just like you would with the girls?
Oh, yeah. It's no different. They don't take me any lighter. I don't take them any lighter. Just football.
Yeah, so you play receiver for them? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And who do you guys play this week?
We played Martin tomorrow, so Thursday.
Okay. So tell me, how did it come to pass that you ended up joining the boys football team as you're the only girl on the team, I'm taking it?
Yeah.
So how did it come to pass that you joined this team as the only girl?
Well, in grade 9, I saw football and I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll try football. And I played flag for a few years and I was like, okay, well, I'm a very aggressive person, so I was like, I'll try something else. Then I joined the Regina Riot team, which is like a mm-hmm. women's football team.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my grade 10 year, I was like, I really want to play boys football. And so I just went to spring camp at the end of grade 10, and then it just went well, and I just really enjoyed it.
So have you got any catches in games yet, Jada?
Not yet, but I played a lot in the last game, and hopefully I get a few catches. And
that's awesome. Who do you look up to as a football player, either as a girl, like a woman that you've played with, or is there a CFL or NFL guy you like to emulate your game after?
I'd just say my coach, my football coach. She's also my basketball coach. She played a lot of high-level sports. Like, she played lacrosse and hockey and football and rugby, like all those sports. Mm-hmm. So I look up to her a lot because she knows what she's saying, and she always tells me what to do and how to do it because she's smart in the girl area of what to do because she played on guys' teams when she was younger too. So,
Jada Duval joining us here on Growing the Game with Ballsy. She's a wide receiver for the Belfer Bears in high school. She plays for the Regina Victorias. As you heard, was a Riot player too. So let me ask you, I've asked other women this. Do you feel like the guys look at you differently because you're playing football? You know what I mean? Not as a girl, not as a feminine entity, so to speak, or that doesn't even enter your mind?
I don't think that enters my mind or their mind. They just, it's football, it's a sport, and being a girl doesn't change it, and they don't see me any differently, so. Okay. I'm glad about that.
Now, I'm not going to try to get too personal, but I've seen girls play on guys' hockey teams. There's the dressing situation. So do you go to a different dressing room, number one? And number two, does that make you feel like you're any less of the part of the team doing that?
No, actually, I change with them.
Oh, really?
They don't care about it. They as long as I don't bother them, they don't bother me. Like, we have, like, I wear my spandex. They have their stuff on, so it's not like we're fully nude or anything, but no, they don't care about it. They don't complain. So.
Excellent. That's outstanding. So what are the prospects for Bell for this year? How's your team looking?
Quite good, actually. Last year, they made it to the semifinals, so we're hoping to win the finals this year.
That's awesome.
So we got a pretty good team, so we got probably got it in the bag.
Now, let me ask you this. What's the big difference other than you're playing with boys in high school, then you go to the Regina Victorias. What's the big difference between playing with boys and playing with girls? Like, what do you see as the big difference?
I'd say the aggression and the drive to just, like, tackle. Like, girls, yeah, we tackle, but, like, the guys, they just tackle and they just keep going and going because they just, that's their thing. They just love hitting, and it's awesome to see the aggression. And it gets me pumped up, and then when I get a hit, they're all excited, and they're good. They're good about it.
Do the girls in the Victorias kind of look up to you as a kind of a role model because you're playing high school football? And does it feel like you're playing in a slower version of football when you're playing with the Victorias, just because you're playing with guys and it might be a little bit faster, more aggressive, like you said?
Oh, yeah. Like, they definitely look up to me. They ask me questions like, oh, that's awesome, you're on the boys team and all that stuff. They definitely look up to me. But, yeah, it's a way different pace, like when I go from Belfort straight to Victoria's practice right after. But it's also good because those girls will play Riot. And once I've done high school, I'm going to be playing Riot for the rest of my life. So
that's awesome.
It's good to have them. Yep.
And how cool is it to have a Victoria's program now and be able to play the Moosemans and the Melvilles and the Yorktons of the world?
It's actually pretty awesome. I never thought they would actually do that, and especially in RMF. But they got a team together, and it's pretty good. We've been winning our games, so
what are your parents?
Hopefully it gets better.
What do your parents think of you playing on two football teams?
Well, they're pretty concerned about my health and all that, but as long as I eat good and I got school and all that, I just got to have a good schedule, and everything works out good. So
what does your mom think? What is your mom, because it's usually the moms that are concerned, whether it's the boys or the girls. What does your mom think of her daughter playing tackle football? Not on just one, but two teams.
Well, growing up, she played boys hockey through, like, AA and all that stuff. So she was pumped about me playing with boys. Just two tackle football teams, she was like, that's a lot. Body's going to be sore and stuff like that. But I showed her, like, as long as I take care of my body, I'll be fine. And she was good with it. And she's supporting me through everything, comes to all my games, and she's good with it. So
what piece of advice, lastly, Jada, would you give to a young girl that's listening to this that might want to get into football? Do you have any advice for her?
Just don't be scared and do it no matter how scared you are. It's a fun sport, and the football community is very welcoming. And as long as you try your hardest, they'll welcome you. It's a good sport.
Jada Duval of the Regina Victorias and the Belfort Bears. Good luck this season. We'll be watching, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. And Growing the Game with Ballsy brought to you by Wheel Estate. If you have a travel trailer you want to rent out, or you want to rent a travel trailer, check them out at wheelestate.ca and you'll be a happy camper, so to speak. And you'll be a happy camper because of their $1 million insurance policy backing all rentals. Also, if you want to get into the real estate game, check out Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home realty experts, 306-502-5355. If you have a story idea you want me to pursue, please email me, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. And if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, hit me up at the same email address. You can catch me every pre- and post-game show on the Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM, and every weekday morning, 6 to 10 on 104.9 The Wolf. Thanks for tuning in.